The Hobbit, Part 2, by J.R.R. Tolkien.
When Bilbo opened his eyes, he wondered if he had, for it was just as dark as with them shut. He could hear nothing, see nothing, and he could feel nothing except the stone of the floor. Very slowly he got up and groped about on all fours till he touched the wall of the tunnel. But neither up nor down it could he find anything, nothing at all. No sign of goblins, no sign of dwarves. He crawled along for a good way till suddenly his hand met what felt like a tiny ring of cold metal lying on the floor of the tunnel. It was a turning point in his career, but he did not know it.
It feels like a ring. I'll just put it in my pocket. It certainly doesn't seem of any particular use at the moment. Oh, I wish I was home in my own kitchen frying bacon and eggs. Ah, well, at least I've still got my pipe. It's not broken. And here's my tobacco pouch. Oh, I haven't got any matches. It's just as well. Goodness knows what the striking of matches and the smell of tobacco would bring on me out of the dark holes in this horrible place. Well, here's my little sword. It shines pale and dim like Thorin's and Gandalf's swords, so it's an elvish blade, too, and goblins are not very near, or it would shine brighter. Now, what should I do? Go back? No good at all. Go forward? Only thing to do. On we go.
On and on he went, and down and down, hating to go on, not daring to stop. And suddenly, without any warning, he trotted splash into water.
Oh, it's icy cold. Oh, it's an underground pool or lake. Well, I can't go on, that's certain. There are strange things living in the pools and lakes in the hearts of mountains. Nasty, slimy things with big, bulging, blind eyes wriggling in the water. Now what'll I do?
As Bilbo sat on the brink of the underground lake, altogether flummoxed and at the end of his way and his wits, a slimy creature called Gollum watched him from a tiny rock island in the middle of the lake. Gollum, as dark as darkness, except for two big, round, pale eyes in his thin face. He had a little boat, and he rowed about quietly on the lake with large feet dangling over the side, looking out of his pale, lamp-like eyes for blind fish, which he grabbed with his long fingers as quick as thinking. He liked meat, too. Goblin, he thought, good when he could get it. But he took care they never found him out. He just throttled them from behind if they ever came down alone anywhere near the edge of the water while he was prowling about. Gollum got into his boat and shot off from the island and silently came to where Bilbo sat.
Let us and splash us, my precious. I guess it's a choice feast. At least a tasty morsel it is made.
Who are you?
What is he, my precious?
I'm Mr. Bilbo Baggins. I've lost the dwarves, and I've lost the wizard, and I don't know where I am, and I don't want to know, if only I can get away.
What's he got in his hands?
A sword. A blade which came out of Gondolin.
Breath. Perhaps we sit here and chat with it a bit, see, my precious. It likes riddles. Perhaps it does. Does it? Gollum.
When he said Gollum, he made a horrible swallowing noise in his throat. That's how he got his name, though he always called himself My Precious.
Does Baggins like riddles, does it?
Very well, but you ask the first riddle.
What has roots as nobody sees? Is taller than trees, up it goes, and yet never grows.
Easy. Mountain, I suppose.
Does it get easy? It must have a competition with us, my precious. If Precious asks, and Baggins doesn't answer, we eat it, my precious. If Baggins asks us, and we doesn't answer, then we does what it wants. We show Baggins the way out. Yes.
All right. Here's a riddle. 30 white horses on a red hill. First they champ, then they stamp, then they stand still.
Teeth, my precious. But we have only 6. Here's another riddle for Baggins. Voiceless it cries, wingless flutters, toothless bites, mouthless mutters.
Half a moment. Wind. Wind, of course. This will puzzle the nasty little underground creature. Listen to this riddle. An eye in a blue face saw an eye in a green face. That eye is like to this eye, said the first eye, but in low place, not in high place.
My precious. Sun on the daisies, it means it does.
All right, it's your turn.
It cannot be seen, cannot be felt, cannot be heard, cannot be smelt. It lies behind stars and under hills and empty halls it fills. It comes first and follows after, ends life, kills the laughter.
Ah, Doc, that's it, Doc. Here's one for you. A box without hinges, key, or lid, yet golden treasure inside is hid. Well, what is it? The answer's not a kettle boiling over, as you seem to think from the noise you're making.
Give us a chance. Let it give us a chance, my precious.
Well, what about your guess?
Eggs, it is. Now, here has a little horn baggins. Alive without breath, as cold as death, never thirsty, ever drinking, all in mail, never clinking. Is it nice, my precious? Is it juicy? Is it scrumptiously crunchable, Column?
Half a moment. I gave you a good long chance just now.
It must make haste. Haste.
What's that? Oh, it's a fish. That's it. Fish. Fish. It's a fish. That's the answer to your riddle.
Now it's got to ask us a question, my precious.
Let's see. What have I got in my pocket?
Not fair. Not fair. It isn't fair, my precious, to ask us what it's got in its nasty little pocket.
What have I got in my pocket?
It must give us three guesses, my precious. Three guesses.
Very well. Guess away.
Hands.
Wrong. Guess again.
Knife.
Wrong. Last guess. Come on, I'm waiting. Time's up.
String or nothing.
Both wrong. Well, what about your promise? I want to go. You must show me the way.
Did we say so, precious? Show the nasty little baggins the way out. Yes. Yes. But what has it got in its pocket, Skelton?
Never you mind. A promise is a promise.
We can't go up tunnel so hasty. We must go and get some things first. Yes, things to help us.
Well, hurry up.
My birthday present. That's what we want now. Yes, we want it. And the nasty little baggins can't see us. And its nasty little sword will be useless.
What has it got in its pocket? Tell us that! Answers were to be guessed, not given.
And that was a fair question, not a riddle. What has it done in its pocket, then?
I asked you a question first. What have you lost? Tell me that.
Now the light in Gollum's eyes had become a green fire, and it was coming swiftly nearer. Gollum was in his boat again, paddling wildly back to the dark shore. Such a rage of loss and suspicion was in his heart that no sword had any more terror for him. Bilbo could not guess what had maddened the wretched creature, but he saw that Gollum meant to murder him. He turned and ran blindly back up the dark passage down which he had come, wondering what it was that he had in his pocket. The ring felt very cold as it quietly slipped onto his groping forefinger.
What has it got in his pocket?
The hiss was close behind him. He turned now and saw Gollum's eyes like small green lamps coming up the slope. Terrified, he tried to run faster, but suddenly he struck his toes on a snag in the floor and fell flat with his little sword under him. In a moment, Gollum was on him. But before Bilbo could do anything, Gollum passed by, taking no notice of him, cursing and whispering as he ran.
Curse of the hens! What has it got in its pocket? Oh, we guess! We guess! My precious stone! My birthday present! We guess as precious! Only guesses! We can't know till we find the nasty creature and squeeze the head!
Bilbo pricked up his ears. What could it mean? Gollum could see in the dark, yet he passed by as if he did not see the hobbit. Bilbo was at last beginning to guess himself. He hurried a little, keeping close to the creature, who was still going quickly, not looking back, but turning his head from side to side, looking for Bilbo.
It doesn't know what the present can do, does it? It'll just keep it in its pockets. It doesn't know, and it can't go far.
You! The goblins will catch it!
Goblins are scum. If the nasty Baggins has got the present, our precious present, then goblins will get it! You'll never be safe again! Never! Come! One of the goblins will put on the ring, and then no one will see him. He'll be there, but not seen. He'll come creepsy and tricksy and catch us! Come! The nasty Baggins knows a way in. It must know a way out yet. It's up to the back door. To the back door, that's it.
With a spring, Gollum got up and started shambling off at a great pace. Bilbo hurried after him, still cautiously. His head was in a whirl of hope and wonder. It seemed that the ring he had was a magic ring. It made you invisible. He had heard of such things, of course, in old, old tales. But it was hard to believe that he had really found one by accident. Still, there it was. Gollum, with his bright eyes, had passed him by only a yard to one side. On they went, Gollum flip-flapping ahead, hissing and cursing, Bilbo behind, going as softly as a hobbit can. Soon they came to places where, as Bilbo had noticed on the way down, side passages opened this way and that. Gollum began at once to count them.
One left, yes. One right. Two right, yes, yes. Two left. Three right. Four right. Yes, this is the way. That's the way, yes. Six left, yes, this is it. This is the way to the back door. Here's the passage. Come here. That we dursn't go in, precious. No, we dursn't. Goblins is down there. Lots of goblins. We smell them. Come.
Bilbo crept forward silently and saw Gollum sitting humped up right in the opening. His eyes gleamed cold in his head as he swayed it from side to side between his knees. As Bilbo crept nearer, Gollum stiffened at once and sniffed, and his eyes went green. He hissed softly but menacingly. He could not see the hobbit, but now he was on the alert. And he had other senses that the darkness had sharpened, hearing and smell. Bilbo almost stopped breathing and went stiff himself. He was desperate. He must get away out of this horrible darkness while he had any strength left. He trembled. And then, quite suddenly, in a flash, as if lifted by a new strength and resolve, he leaped straight over Gollum's head. Gollum threw himself backwards and grabbed as the hobbit flew over him, but too late. His hands snapped on thin air, and Bilbo, falling fair on his sturdy feet, sped off down the tunnel.
Goblins are so near that he smelt them. Then they'll have heard his shrieking and cursing. Careful now, or this way will lead you to worse things. What's that? A light ahead. Not red light from a fire or a lantern, but a pale, out-of-doors sort of light. It's sunshine.
Scuttling as fast as his legs would carry him, he came to a large, open space where a leak of sunshine came through a doorway, where a great door, a stone door, was left standing partly open. Bilbo blinked, and then suddenly he saw the goblins. Goblins in full armor with drawn swords sitting just inside the door. They saw him sooner than he saw them. The ring was not on his finger. With yells of delight, the goblins rushed upon him. He stuck his hands into his pockets, and there was the ring, still in his left pocket. It slipped on his finger, and the goblins stopped short.
Where is it?
Go back up the passage. This way.
Out of the door. I must get to the door. I must get to the door.
Then it was like a horrible game of blind man's buff. The place was full of goblins running about, and the poor little hobbit dodged this way and that, was knocked over by a goblin, slipped between the legs of the captain, got up and ran for the door. He tried to squeeze through the crack. He squeezed and squeezed, and he stuck. He could see outside into the open air, but he couldn't get through.
Something's outside.
Bilbo's heart jumped into his mouth. He gave a terrific squirm. Buttons burst off in all directions. He was through. Bilbo had escaped.